This episode is brought to you by CarterComics.com. It's your one-stop shop for all your comic needs, whether it be graded or raw. Carter Comics has got it all. All you gotta do is go to CarterComics.com, fill your cart up with all their amazing comics. Use the discount code FREAKNET, F-R-E-A-K-N-E-T. Save you 10% at checkout. Not only on their website, but also at their eBay account. And the link to eBay can be found on their homepage at CarterComics.com. Again, CarterComics.com is your one-stop shop for all comic needs.
It's time! It's time! It's JFW time!
All right, guys, it's that time to get stepped in the ring with the greatest faction in podcast history, Jazz Freak Wrestling, the JFW podcast, hosted by Travesty.
And I am soon to be the sole general manager for Rocket Pro Wrestling, Nubby the Amazing Turtle.
And I am the guy who realized yesterday he's been Pac-Man since 2013 and the LIM champion, Pac-Man. I mean, it just caught me so off guard when I was looking at my Facebook memories yesterday to see that I was willing at that point when I was a freshman in college to go with Pac-Man. So really thinking about it, all those promos where I said stop calling me Pac-Man last year, they don't really hold up based on that alone.
Newsflash, Pac-Man. Nothing you say holds up.
It holds up like my pants are held up by my belt. My words are like a belt for the things that are held up. Anyway, that wasn't a very good metaphor.
No, because that doesn't hold up either.
Yeah.
I thought you were trying to rap again.
No, that'll be another 7 months.
There's way too much to cover this week. Not in a bad way, in a good way. It seems like I don't remember us ever having a weekend where there was this much going on.
It's very rare.
Yeah,
it's which I'm excited about because we get to kind of show people like how much wrestling is really out there. That if you're in any type of region of the Midwest, realistically, like there's really no way you can't find one that's really local to you. You know, But obviously, we're going to cover Dreamwave. We're going to cover Chicago Style Wrestling. We're going to cover POW Entertainment, Frontline Pro, Phoenix Pro Wrestling, SCW. You guys, we're going to cover with ARW and Rocket Pro Wrestling. Like I said, like I just don't remember how, like, a weekend where there was so much. Obviously, Dreamwave has two shows this weekend, both Friday and Saturday. So it's there is a lot going on. We're covering two different wrestling companies in Wisconsin, which I don't think we have done yet, which is really cool.
Not one weekend, no.
Phoenix Pro Wrestling is having their season premiere this month, so I'm really excited to cover them because outside of SCW, they're the show that we have talked about the longest here on JFW. The owner is an incredible person, and there's actually somebody on this match card that's very close to Pac-Man, so I'm really excited to talk about that match too.
Flash Harris.
So we'll cover all that. Before we do it, there is one thing non-independent wrestling related I do want to ask you guys about. And I'll probably talk to Dizzle J about it because I think we're doing a show this weekend. Because I think AEW has a pay-per-view this weekend, I believe. Is that right? Yeah.
I think so. Yeah.
Sunday.
Yeah. So I'm gonna ask Dizzle J his opinion, but I want to get you guys' opinion. The footage released by AEW with the altercation between Punk and Perry didn't help AEW at all.
Nope.
Hell no. It does not help them at all.
It hurt them more than it helped them.
The only thing that they showed that I think was different than what CM Punk said was, I don't see Perry taking a swing at Punk to make him attack him first. But they also didn't play the audio, so who knows what was fucking said. Because I know there are certain things that somebody said something to me, just by hearing something, I would wholeheartedly attack them first. But it's not like, yeah, it's like you said, he didn't punch anybody, he just choked somebody a little bit. But yeah, individual opinions. Start with Nubby. Did you watch the footage? And what do you think overall it did for both, not only CM Punk, but for AEW?
So I watched it, and I've watched it quite a few times because I think I mixed up a few things as I was commenting on different posts.
Real quick, Navi. Mm-hmm. Pac-Man, you don't got a thumbs up when you fucking mute. We know it's a good job. Idiot. Go ahead, Navi. Sorry.
You are job, Pac-Man.
He 100% two thumbs up at the fucking bottom. Like he did fucking well. Like a child who cleaned up his own playroom wants a fucking cookie for doing what they're supposed to do. Fucking nutty. Anyways, Nubby, go ahead. And first off, I want to apologize for keep interrupting you. I know I do that a lot, and I don't want to give Kyle any more fucking fuel on the fourth mother box like he said this past week where he says that Nubby really doesn't talk much, which I think is kind of bullshit. I think the thing is, you do talk a lot. I just interrupt you a lot. So I'm going to work on that and try to be better. But shame on Kyle for saying you have nothing to fucking share. You contribute so much to this show. Fuck that guy.
Yeah, and plus, people don't mute me when they listen to the show.
Yeah, they mute me. So Travis just mutes me.
Well, the listeners, they'll actually, you know, for Fourth Mother Box, they'll fast forward through whatever Kyle's views. Or they'll just turn the sound down so they don't have to hear him. So.
You guys should reach out to Tom and see if you can step in as co-host for the next couple weeks when Kyle's off shitting in the streets or whatever in Europe.
That'll be interesting. Pac-Man.
Pac-Man would be a solid fucking co-host. You know, a special guest host, especially because we're keeping it within the Freaknet Studio family and everything.
Right.
I don't understand the idea of Tom going on vacation to fucking Disneyland because it's like, You go to Disney World so fucking much, it's no fucking different going across the country to do the exact same thing.
Well, you know, it's different because, you know, world.
You know!
Land. You know!
That's an LIM thing?
Yeah.
I'm getting prepared just in case I do accept the initiation at spring break, just in case.
And he will, he will be there.
Kicks on 66.
Kicks on 66, that's right, yeah. We will, I'll see. You know, I gotta learn to dumb myself down to a whole new level. You know! Anyways, sorry, Nubby. Go ahead. Okay.
So, after I watched it a bunch of times, Punk told his side on what he did. He left out the part that he shoved Perry. But he said he choked him out, and I didn't realize he did choke him out because there was so much commotion. You couldn't really see, but when someone said, what was that, guillotine choke? I kind of saw it. It was brief, though. Super brief that it was broken up. When it comes to that footage, though, it didn't help AEW at all. All it did was show that Punk is no different than any other fucking vet in this business. That if you do something wrong, you're not supposed to do, you don't listen to the vets or whatever, and you get mouthy with them, they're going to fucking hit you. That's going to happen. I don't think it's right. I mean, it'd be like fucking if I do a move in a match and say Hunter Payne, you know, said not to do it, but I did anyway, and then I mouth off to him, he probably smacked me. But I don't think that's right because I didn't hit him, but whatever. Now, that's just an example. Please, I will not be in that kind of situation with Hunter Payne. I know better.
I like Hunter how you picked the biggest fucking dude, too.
But Hunter loves me.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's like, because I was kind of like going through like why Perry was acting the way he was acting. And I was thinking, like, is it because, like, of the name? Like, the fact that, like, he feels that he's entitled to do what he wants because he, who his dad was, you know? Or if he's doing it because he was one of the, what do they call themselves, like, the four pillars or whatever of AEW, that he developed an entitlement to, he could do what he wants and shit. The one video I'm glad that came out was somebody put the two videos together of the incident and his interview on the MMA Hour or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And verbatim, as he's telling the story, he's telling exactly what the fuck's happening there. I think the one thing that affect AEW, or what negatively affect AEW the most, was they released the video, but there is no audio showing anything that is said. I think that's the biggest problem. Pac-Man, what about you? What are you doing?
I'm eating.
We're recording a fucking show right now.
I just got in the door.
We're recording a fucking show. I don't want to sit here and see you fucking chowing down your mom's fajitas.
How'd you know?
Because you said it before we started recording.
Oh, yeah, I did say that.
Besides, I'm not going to make some fucking joke that I stopped by your fucking mom's house and picked up some fucking fajitas. We're adults. This is real life. Let's move the fuck on. Don't eat while fucking recording.
I got you, buddy.
This isn't the fucking power hour where you sit behind fucking images all fucking night.
I do that.
You do, do.
Yeah, I do.
But, yeah, let me hear your opinion on the incident. How did it affect AEW? How did it affect CM Punk and shit?
So I'm going to take it from a management perspective of looking back to the day where...
The only non-manager here.
So, like, but thinking about, like, with Tony Khan and what he said when he went on TV and said, I feared for my life, and you see what exactly happened... Something doesn't add up. It just make, in my opinion, I mean, Tony Khan, the one thing Punk said is he wants to be more of a friend than a boss.
Mm-hmm.
And that's to his detriment. This shows, in my view, his inexperience, considering other backstage incidents that have happened throughout the history of professional wrestling where, you know, people actually lost lives backstage, like, you know, your Bruiser Brodies in Puerto Rico, like Punk shoved them and put Jack Perry in a chokehold. He didn't do anything really to get into Khan's face. I mean, he kind of like went around him and looked like he yelled at Khan. He didn't lunge at him like other reports had said. So I think it made Tony Khan look pretty weak, and you know, that's how he's looked for the past maybe couple of years since Brawl Out. Mm-hmm. A lot of this stuff could have been avoided if Tony Khan actually did stuff about all the stuff that happened with Hangman Page, all the stuff that happened with the Bucks, all the stuff that happened with Omega. He could have done so much more, and he lost his biggest star because he didn't do enough.
He didn't do what a boss should.
Yeah, it definitely shows that Khan really has never had an altercation in his life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like you said, the only thing that Punk did when it came to Tony Khan was, I'm guessing that behind that little wall, that divider is where Gorilla was sitting, where Khan was sitting. Other than Punk leaning into that area and yelling at him,
mm-hmm.
if that in your mind is being feared for your life, you have never truly been yelled at before.
Yep.
And there's a possibility the dude never has. You know, he lived what sounds like a pretty, you know, rich kid life, where he probably never had anyone tell him the truth, mm-hmm. or never had like altercations and shit. So, I mean, I've been lectured at wrestling shows. I haven't been yelled at a wrestling show since Elite Pro Wrestling. I still go back to that fucking Frankfurt show. I think that was the only time. Vito Tomaselli was the only wrestler in this entire business that has yelled. But it wasn't directed at me. It was directed at everybody. But the only time I was ever been yelled at was as a group by one fucking person. And even then, I didn't think I was feared for my life. You know, dude was pissed because, you know, as a group, we dropped the ball. But, you know, it's, I don't think the dude was going to fucking take a swing at fucking anybody because of it. You know, and it, I'm on board with both you guys, and I'm on board with what everyone's saying on the world. Yes, AEW, it did not help them in any way. I don't know what they were trying to achieve from that. It's amazing how, like, the AEW guys, the super fans who think WWE is dog shit, pivoted so quickly from that to Will Ospreay's statement about Triple H. Like, they pivoted so, yeah, they pivoted so fucking quick. And even then, it's like you said, what he said is not anything fucking new. Like, people have been saying that shit for almost 30 fucking years. And now it was fucking goofy. You know, hey, I respect AEW for trying, but it just didn't fucking work.
No. Yeah. And the thing is, like, so you know how Punk is at this point. It's 2024. Yeah. Punk's been around for a long time. You know how he is in the ring and outside the ring. Why are you putting him in a situation where you know there's a chance that he's going to blow up at somebody? And I believe it was him that said Tony Schiavone went to him about this Jack Perry thing, about the glass and all that shit. So what does Tony Schiavone have to say about it? Can he be the blame for putting Punk in this situation? Now, why am I listening to Tony Schiavone in the first place? Why is he coming to me to do something? He is a fucking commentator. That's the last thing I heard. He's a commentator. Is he? When did he become a fucking somebody to go to about bookings or storylines and shit? Yeah, give a little. You can give a little advice, take a little advice from him. But why is he going to get somebody to go, you know, control this guy? You picked the wrong guy.
Yeah.
You should know better. And as for Will Ospreay, dude, what the fuck? That, like you said, that shit's been said for so long, and you were wrong to even say it, because Triple H was right. AEW's schedule is different from WWE. And if Will Ospreay couldn't handle that, Triple H just called him out on it. It wasn't necessarily a dig. Wasn't shitting on him for it. It's true. The grind is different.
Yeah, if he wanted an E, because I know WWE's schedule is tougher than AEW's, but what is AEW's schedule compared to like NXT? It can't be that rough, you know. Like, I mean, they could have signed Ospreay to fucking NXT, see how he liked it, and maybe move up down the line. And I don't see Will Ospreay being like an AJ Styles where you put him right on the main card right away, or a Jade Cargill. I guess technically, I guess them never really had to do NXT to WWE. They just straight up WWE. It's just so fuck. It's almost petty like, but at the same time, and as a fan, I'm entertained because they're trying. But they're failing at fucking, you know, shooting digs over at WWE. It's just not fucking working.
The one thing that made me laugh was the Forbes article with all the results from AEW. And included in that is CM Punk defeated Jack Perry in a backstage brawl.
I did not see that, but that's fucking funny.
We all know Punk's an asshole. Or Phil's an asshole. But at the end of the day, AEW did this themselves. In the moment Tony Schiavone asked him to do something.
Yep. One more televised question, then we'll move over to the independent shit. CM Punk's attitude now, obviously a lot better this, you know, since he left WWE in 2014. He's going out and doing all, even injured. Like, I don't know if you guys remember, you know, ever listened to the Colt Cabana podcast with CM Punk on it. But he talked about how miserable he was doing all this shit while being injured. Well, now he's doing all this shit while injured. Different circumstance, obviously. But, you know, he's doing interviews. He's on panels. He's doing make-a-wishes. He's still in the back. He's doing commentating, helping out the young people, doing all this shit. Obviously, a very positive attitude. what we're seeing from CM Punk. Is this Phil Brooks or CM Punk, however you want to look at it, just being a company man and just showing positives even though he's miserable? Or is he true? Do you believe he's truly happy? Is it a work or is it a shoot, do you believe? I guess is what I'm asking.
I'd say he's working on himself. Maybe the whole thing with Jack Perry kind of maybe helped him a little bit. Maybe it was like that lit up the fire up the ass a bit, realized that maybe that company was not as great as he thought when it comes to morale. And with Vince gone, yeah, it might be a little better for him. But I think the biggest test was when he showed up at Survivor Series. Was he going to be miserable the moment he walked out? You saw the smile. Mm-hmm. Whether that was fake or not, I don't know. But he looked happier than he did when he first showed up in AEW. I think he's trying now. Maybe he's on some meds. Maybe AJ finally put him on meds. You know, you could tell he's struggling a little bit with himself. Trying so hard not to be that guy that he was in AEW and shooting all the time. I know, obviously, WWE has that strict rules on what to say and what not to say, even though they push the envelope a little bit here and there, now that Vince is gone. But we'll see what happens by the end of the year, and if he's not going back to, I don't know. We'll see.
Gotcha. Pac-Man, what do you think?
I mean, I saw the stuff with Randy Orton where they were talking about leading the locker room and, you know, in their own way, burying the hatchet, talking about old stuff.
You talking about the watch along on YouTube?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. I did enjoy that. Yeah.
I watched the full Hawani interview. I mean, WWE is a much different place from when he was there in 2014. You know, I was at his first like wrestling appearance, like between AEW and when he left WWE. And they had mentioned about at that point, Becky Lynch and Seth Rollins getting time off for their honeymoon. And he was stunned because, you know, and the WWE that he know. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like he was stunned. And I remember somebody had told him, come and see the WWE culture that you were partly responsible for. And, you know, I think it's genuine. I think that he is, you know, maybe he is working on himself a little bit. You know, maybe it's like not so much that obviously it's not like a Shawn Michaels thing, but you know, yeah. Shawn Michaels left. He came back, you know, completely changed from who he was back in the mid, you know, 90s. You know, I'm thinking it's something like this. But also, too, I think Punk realizes that this is his last chance in a major company.
Yeah.
So if he knows if he blows his stack or fucks it up, that's it. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a little bit of both, but I lean more into that it's genuine.
I agree. I do think that what he says and what he's doing is true to how he's feeling right now. Obviously none of us have ever been part of WWE. We don't know what the true behind the scenes culture between Vince and the difference between Vince and Triple H and shit. If I was Triple H, if I was in his position and there were people who were telling me like, hey, I want time off to do this. Hey, I want time off to do that, blah, 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 blah. Unless they were in like a major storyline, I'd actually right now, as that he is, there shouldn't be a problem with giving them the time off.
Mm.
First off, as far as I know, you're still, I mean, obviously, I think there is like a guaranteed pay, but you still make money by performing.
Mm-hmm.
And the roster is so deep right now that if somebody was like Becky Lynch and Seth Rollins saying, hey, we want to go on a second honeymoon or, you know, we're going to take time off. Like, okay, cool. We have enough talent to slide into that role. But just keep in mind, if this fucking takes off, when you come back, it's, you know, we'll get you something, but this is going to be, you know, going on and shit like that. I don't know if that's really what's going on or if that's, you know, his mindset, but that's what my mindset would be like. So, yeah, I mean, if fucking CM Punk wanted to be like, hey, listen, you know, I want to come back and do, you know, spots here and spot here. I mean, yeah, why the fuck not? Because his name alone is going to draw people in, you know, and all this stuff that he's doing with Drew McIntyre. My guess is it's probably going to lead to a SummerSlam match. I think Punk will be healed by then, right? He seems to be fucking doing pretty okay right now.
Yeah, it's happening. It's happening at SummerSlam.
Yeah.
Now that I said it, it's going to happen. WWE listens to our show.
Yep. Fucking, yeah. Well, you have to bring Queen of the Ring back. You're welcome, people. Fucking A.
Give me Rhea and Charlotte at SummerSlam. I called that, too. Assuming she's not really injured based on reports.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, I'm in the middle of fucking booking shit, so just talk for a minute.
Well, so I'm watching Fighting with Family, you know, that Paige movie.
Oh, that's a good movie.
You know they made her too innocent in this movie?
I could see that for sure. Like they definitely, you know, made it family more family friendly.
And you know the pun at the end, right?
The, you know, which one?
So when The Rock was talking to Paige right at the end, and he called Vince Vaughn's character sex tape, you know that was a fucking pun towards her.
I guess that was 100% a fucking dig. I like that movie. I wish they showed more of it. Or, like, I wish it was, like more, like, NXT, FCW involvement in it. I guess it was technically FCW. They just called it NXT because that's what is there now. But when she came in, it was fucking Florida Championship Wrestling.
No, it was. She went straight to NXT because that's where
I'm pretty sure. I noticed she was in NXT, but I think when she first came over, it was still Florida Championship Wrestling.
I think they would have used that part.
Yeah, no, it was still FCW. It was like right at the very beginning.
Yeah, it was a transition thing. Like I said, it's not something that matters too much, but I just wish they ingrained more factual like points in and stuff. Because I mean, obviously they skipped over her fucking winning the NXT Women's Championship. Yeah. They skipped that completely. And I understand they had to get from point A to point B, but you know, there was stuff in there that they could have fucking done. I do like that movie, though. Anyways, okay, cool. Let's talk about Dreamwave. Maybe I'll get this text back in time. I'm trying to finalize some guys who are going to be available for High Voltage because I'm, you know, I booked cards last minute. So if I get a text back before we talk about Southland Championship Wrestling, then I'll announce it. If not, then it is what it is. Turtle, I think I do have your fucking match booked, though, so we're good.
Oh, I'm actually still working? Nice.
Yay, Turtle.
Yeah. Well, why wouldn't you be?
I don't know. I thought it was kind of still weird about, you know, the chat. Not like no one's talking in it lately. I thought maybe they started a new one.
It's been fucking heaven, brother. That shit's been bliss. Okay. So this Friday, Dreamwave presents Uprising 2, an all-women's wrestling show. It is Friday, April 19th, 2024, Knights of Columbus at, what's that fucking, 209 Gooding Street in LaSalle, Illinois. They have pre-show meet and greet at 5 p.m. in the lobby. Main show doors will open at 6, the bell time's at 7. Expect about a three-hour duration for the show. One of the matches that we have here, it is Brittany Brooks and Billy Starks taking on Zeta Steele and Maggie Lee. We got Megan Bain taking on Masha Slamovich.
Yep.
I almost said Marche.
Yeah.
Masha Slamovich. Four-person scramble to crown the first Uprising alternative champion. That's going to be Janae Kai, J-Rod, Vert Vixen, and RJS. We're going to see Mayu Yamashita taking on Hayan. Kylie Ray will be going against Jasmine Allure. They need to make better fucking color choices here. It's stupid. I love Dreamwave, don't get me wrong. I know they bring in a lot of great talent, but find a better font color, you know? Hell's bells. Blue over blue? Who does that to a colorblind kid? Emi Sakura is going to be taking on Viva Van. Shaza McKenzie is going to take on Trish Adora. Zaya Brookside will be taking on Black Swan. Gabby Forza will be going against Amira. Mia Friday will be taking on Zamaya. And Tara Zepp will be going against Alice Crowley. Seems like a lot of fucking matches.
It is.
Holy shit. Uprising 2.
Electric coming Boogaloo. This Friday.
Coming this this Friday, April. Oh, you guys almost fucked me up. Website says Friday, April 20th. Fools. Friday, April 19th in LaSalle. Obviously, night one of a two-night weekend for Dreamwave.
Cool.
Sweet.
Yeah, let's do CSW now.
Oh, let's do CSW, because I like
CSW. Yeah, let's get Friday out of the way, and then we'll hit fucking Saturday.
Because I'll be there. I'll be there at CSW Friday. What I'll do? I don't know.
How they not fucking booked you yet, man?
I don't know, but I heard there's a battle royal.
Ooh.
One of those, like rising star, like battle royals or something.
Yeah, future battle royal.
Future battle royal. There we go.
Before the main card, they also have a pre-show match. It could be a singles match, tag match, triple threat. Who knows? It usually goes pre-show match, then futures battle royal, then main card. All right, so CSW. Once upon a time in Chicago. Is this Friday, April the 19th, 9757 Pacific Avenue in Franklin Park, Illinois. Doors open at 6:30 p.m. Bell time is 7:30 p.m. Front row is sold out, as usual. People love their front row. But general admission tickets are $25, and you can still get them in advance if you'd like. Just go to CSW on Facebook. All right, here we go. In a singles match, we got Missa Kate taking on her old rival, Sky Blue. These two have been going at it for years. I remember when Sky Blue was just a rookie. I remember when Missa Kate was just a rookie. And these two pretty much grew up in Chicago-style wrestling together. They put on a lot of matches. They even did some quality matches in Northern Lights down in Godley. I was a referee for one of them.
Yeah, when the fuck is that coming back?
I don't know. Eddie's focusing on his health.
I mean, good for him. I mean, obviously, you know, personal health is should be at the top of anyone's list and everything. I think it's pretty cool that Sky Blue is actually showing up more for CSW than I thought she would. Because she's been at, what, every one this year so far.
Yeah, I think because with them doing separate shows for AEW, they're not going to book her for certain ones all the time. I mean, she'll be on, I think, Collision or something, or she may be just be on Dynamite. I don't, it switches up, but it's allowing her Fridays to be open, so.
That's very
why
cool.
Not, I still, why not be home?
Yeah, I still have yet to see her wrestle in person, so who knows.
Well, you're not doing anything Friday.
Yeah, I'm doing some Friday.
Yeah, sleeping.
No, I gotta fucking work, bro.
He's gotta comb his hair that day.
That's right. That's right. I guess, yeah. CSW, bro.
So, speaking of combing their hair, I don't know, I just thought that was funny. only because this guy has a lot of hair to comb. For the CSW heavyweight title, we got Conan Lycan, the guy with a lot of hair, the champion, he'll be defending his championship against Warhorse Jake Parnell. They're finally getting in that ring and fighting. And it's for the title.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm sure it's not going to be straight up one-on-one, though.
It never is with them gatekeepers. But we'll see. And speaking of the gatekeepers, Solomon Tupu will be taking on the one called Manders. That is going to be hellacious. We're going to have to reinforce the ring for that one.
Let me ask you another real quick. To go back to the championship match, I remember, maybe I'm remembering wrong, which is very, very possible. When Warhorse came back, I thought he was no longer going by Warhorse.
That's what I thought too, but he's been going by Warhorse Jake Parnell.
Okay.
And actually, I said this before, but when I first met him, I met him as Jake Parnell years ago, before he came up with the Warhorse thing. So,
Is this Lycan's toughest opponent so far in his title reign, in your opinion?
Ooh.
It's at least the most veteran opponent, right?
Maybe it's the most personal.
Okay.
So I'm pretty sure he's had tougher matches, but I think this might be tougher when it becomes it's more personal. And they've wrestled before in CSW. When Warhorse was the Slim Jim throwing maniac.
Oh, God. I miss Slim Jims.
They still exist.
They still exist. I just never. I don't know what happened, but like every time I go into a fucking gas station, I never wander by the Slim Jim fucking section. It's probably because I'm just buying lottery tickets and cigarettes like an adult.
I buy sausage.
There was completely unrelated stupid fucking story. When I used to work at a refinery up in Lockport. Pac-Man, you definitely know which one I'm talking about.
Yep, I know exactly.
When I went out, I had to pick up samples and shit in the refinery. Over by, there's this building. It's called, I can't remember what the fuck it's called. But anyways, it's control board. And they have this kitchen in there where they had like these snacks that people stocked up themselves. And you honor system, you bought fucking, you know, snacks and shit like that. Well, some dude fucking had like the mini Slim Jims, like the snack size Slim Jims, for like 50 cents a fucking piece. I fucking threw a 20 in there and stole the whole fucking box. Took off 40 of them because I didn't give a fuck. I was like, fuck it, I'm paying for it. I didn't steal them, but I snatched up 40 of them, paid $20. It's like, these are my snacks like for the entire fucking week. And I would drive around and pick shit up while fucking snacking on Slim Jims. Salt-wise, huge fucking mistake. But Slim Jims are fucking fantastic.
Macho Man would be very proud of you.
Oh, yeah.
LA Knight should be proud of me.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
Sorry, Nubby. I just wanted to share my Slim Jim story.
It's fine.
I know it's fine. I'm not really sorry. But again, I'm working on not interrupting you and interrupt you for a Slim Jim fucking story doesn't fucking help.
Well, and I don't talk anyway, so
that's true. This is all voiceover from somebody else.
It's AI, Nubby.
It's AI. Yeah. Marche Rocket, who I assume will be ready to go from injury from this past weekend that we will get to later in the show. He'll be taking on Richard Holiday.
Now, who's Richard Holiday? That name sounds new to me.
I believe he's from MLW.
MLW. Jinx, you owe me an old style.
Oh, what else is new?
What the hell? Pac-Man, what the fuck are you sitting on that you seem fucking taller? Are you sitting on a stool or some shit?
I am sitting in my kitchen where I was going to eat and podcast, but then you said I couldn't eat, so now I'm just sitting at my kitchen table and podcasting.
You could eat, Pac-Man. It's okay.
Yay!
It's fine. Just eat like a fucking person.
I got you, buddy.
I don't want to see shit falling off your fork like you don't know what the fuck you're doing. How the fuck are you holding that fork?
Like a gentleman. I had my pinky out. See? For those at home, I have my pinky out.
That fork is too big for you. That's a grown-up fork, man. You need a smaller fucking fork.
Hey, this is I'm working with what God gave me, okay?
Tiny fucking hands, brother. So, you look like my nephew trying to fucking eat fucking pasta. The big-ass fucking adult fork in your girly little hand.
Michelle Tanner's style.
Yeah. That looks like such a huge fork. God, move your hand up. I'll let you eat, but you can't distract me. Move your hand up a little bit towards the back of the fucking fork. Now, keep going.
The back of the fork.
Yeah. Slide the fork downwards, you know, a little. I'm serious. It's going to fucking bug me, and I won't let you eat anymore. Whatever. Okay, we're fine.
Okay.
Oh, man.
Such a big fucking fork. It's like you're eating with a salad serving fork. It's like you're using the fork that people use to pick up fucking turkey at Thanksgiving. A serving fork of all fucking forks. Because of your tiny fucking hands.
You know what they say about tiny hands?
Yeah, I know.
Tiny gloves.
You run for president of the United States.
Hey, Nubby Pac-Man 24 shirts available on tpublic.com.
That's right. Currently there's a sale going on. I think there's like one more day left of the sale right now.
Ooh.
I believe shirts is just $16 right now.
Nice.
You can also get the shirt that Nubby that Pac-Man's wearing right now.
Yeah, JFW. Look at that.
JFW. Boom. Yeah. It's the same design that's on the... not for us. Yeah,
not for you guys. Okay. Good.
Yeah. That's the whole reason, like, this fucking see, for me that looks backwards.
Mm-hmm.
But I know it's not. But one day it'll be fine. I don't fucking know what I'm doing with my life anymore. Nubby, CSW. I swear, I'm not going to interrupt you that much.
Yeah, okay. So, we got... For the women's title, we have a triple threat match as Shelley Benson defends her championship against Amina Belmont and Heather Reckless.
You know, they've been doing a lot of multi-women title matches lately. Like, it's been a minute since there's, like, an actual one-on-one. Maybe last month was a one-on-one. But I remember, like, Fatal 4-Ways, like, not too long ago, right? With Sky Blue in it? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nutty. I mean, good. I mean, it's awesome that the women are getting opportunities.
They're giving opportunities, letting, you know, everyone get their shit in. So. Amina Belmont wants that title. She made it known when she attacked Shelley Benson last time.
Who was the girl that was at the Bill Classic?
That would be Lily Pescadita.
Pescadita, yeah. She's the only CSW woman I saw wrestle, and she was fantastic. So if any of these other CSW women wrestlers are anything like her, then I think that their roster is pretty fucking solid then.
Oh, yeah. Pretty solid. Pretty much like it's a mix of the Chicago Wrestling Academy or Grabaz Academy, if you will, and a little bit of Black and Brave.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's the, that's not Seth Rollins, right?
That is.
Yeah. It is. Okay. Oh yeah. And then like Gunner Black. Brave, calls himself Gunner Brave and shit.
Mm-hmm. That is the rumor. Yes.
Wasn't that what he said when he was interviewed on the Lovely Intoxicated podcast?
That's what Probably. He said.
Mm-hmm. See, I remember some shit.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a stupid fucking interview, but yeah, I remember it.
It was a pretty good interview.
Yeah, you guys were fucking. You know what? It was great for your first podcast, like full blown interview.
And the one thing that
it was a little all over the place. It wasn't really structured like smoothly, but you guys did well.
I think like for that one too, you know, I think I was trying too hard to be more like Steve and Power Out with my style. And I think with when we did the old style sessions again with the Shelleys, I think in my opinion that's our strongest episode we've ever done.
Just gotta be you, bro.
Yep. Yeah. And I
don't think any, yeah.
And I mean, too, like the one thing that I will say about Gunnar Bray, we've spent about 4 hours on that Zoom call telling stories, and we did a couple match commentaries. We had the one with Storm Grayson that he had a couple years ago. That was really good. So Gunnar spent a lot of time with us, and he was a great guest.
He was how does Joe's podcast, Geekcast Lab, what do they call it? He was a little bit in his cup, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. I do remember something being a little bit goofy. I think that's what it was. I think dude just kept slamming, I don't know what they fuck, Twisted Teas or whatever the fuck he was drinking. Mm. Or what those wine coolers, Zolos or whatever the fuck they were called, Zetas. Yeah. Nah, yeah, I don't fucking know. Anyways, Melby, sorry for Pac-Man interrupting you. Go ahead.
Me and my big fork.
Yeah, your stupid ass fucking comic, your comedy fork.
You know what? In a lumberjack match, we have Steve Boz taking on Eric Schultz.
Awesome. Who are the lumberjacks, though?
Don't know.
Because if they're handpicked by TJ Steele, that's Boz is fucked.
Yeah. And speaking of TJ Steele's brass holes, even though I put brash, but it's all the same.
Those damn brass holes shaken, not stirred.
It'll be Jax Johnson, Ryan Matthews, and Iniestra taking on Quintero, Axel Rico, and Gringo Loco.
That sounds like it's going to be a solid fucking match.
Yeah.
Damn.
This match will be solid. Probably.
Oh, hold on a second. Iniestra is the Midwest champion, right? Or the Metro Division champion. Yeah. Metro Division champion. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I want to make sure I keep remembering these fucking people as we go through it. But go ahead. Sorry.
Possibly a solid matchup, but more personal. For the tag team titles, you got Joey Avalon and Sierra, your favorite person, who'll be taking on Big Mood, who have been in a bad mood and attitude change lately. Mateo Valentine knocked out Sierra last month with a chair during the entrance. So Sierra's going to be out for blood. And it's gonna be
can I just say that this is what I think, this is a good example of what I believe independent wrestling should be. Because Mateo Valentine's heel attitude came from POW. Right, and he's bringing that over to CSW. Yeah, and he's bringing that over to CSW, which yep. I think that's what, as wrestlers in independent wrestling, should do. If you're a face, you should be a face everywhere. Heel everywhere. Because like I said, when you have people who are traveling to various, I think the biggest example, and it's nothing against you, but VJ Price is like the best example for me, because when he was a heel in SCW, he was a heel in ARW, which was fine. But he's a babyface at SCW, but he's still a heel at ARW. For me, I get it. But for the newer or fresher or not as involved wrestling fan, it's weird when you're cheering him at SCW and then you go to Lake Station, Indiana, and people are booing him. Like, why everyone? Great, you know, he did this over here and vice versa. It's like, why are you guys cheering him? He's an asshole. Good on Mateo for fucking doing that. I get that sometimes it's a booker's decision, like, hey, we're gonna need you to be a face today. But the fact that he is able to develop his character overall in independence, not just in one company, is what I think independent wrestling should be.
So. I agree.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't Pac-Man shouldn't be interrupting you like that.
I know.
Yeah, I'm such an asshole.
Shut the fuck up.
God, fucking Pac-Man.
I've been saying that since Saturday. Yeah.
That is true. I can confirm.
There are two things I need in life, and then I'm good, is I need Pac-Man's parents to start calling him Pac-Man instead of Pat, and I need them to tell him to shut the fuck up, Pac-Man, once. If I could do that, I know I've made a difference in this world.
My mom has definitely told me to shut the fuck up at many points. But
I need to see a video of her saying, shut the fuck up, Pac-Man, at least once. Who gives a shit about starving children or homeless people? If I could get Mama Pax to tell fucking Pac-Man to shut the fuck up, Pac-Man, I'll never need to do anything else in my life but pay bills and fucking die. I'll be fucking good. Anyways, okay.
And then, not for anything, just the tag match. What am I thinking? Adam Stallion and Cypher.
Oh, yeah, well, I did want to ask about that. The situation with the other company, that's done, right? With Avalon and Sierra, and was it CCW?
Freelance.
Freelance, okay.
It sounds like it's on the back burner at this point.
Gotcha, okay. Because the last thing I heard was they attacked them at... No, they had a tag match. That was the last of it?
Yeah.
At Freelance. Part, yeah. Gotcha. Okay.
Adam Stallion and Cypher will be taking on Hatekeepers Boucher and Marston. And that is the card for CSW as of right now. Once Upon a Time in Chicago. It's happening Friday, April the 19th, 9757 Pacific Avenue in Franklin Park, Illinois. Doors open 6:30 p.m. Bell time 7:30 p.m. General admission tickets only $25. At the door or online. Front row is sold out. And if you can't make it, well, you can catch us on IWTV Live when it is released.
Yeah.
Okay. Also happening this Saturday is going to be Dreamwave's second show of the weekend. It is Wrestling Anniversary 4. Nope, sorry, 9. I don't know Roman numerals well. Wrestling Anniversary 9 is Saturday, April 20th at the Knights of Columbus, 209 Gooding Street in LaSalle. Same location as their Friday show. Pre-show meet and greet is open at 4. Doors open at 5. Bell time is at 6. Oh, let's see here. Matches that are set. High End versus Black Swan. We're going to see a tag match with Jay-Z and Zeke Touche. Guess that's what it is. Versus Vic Capri and Shelly Benson. Hart and Bauer is going to be taking on Manders. We got, this is a alternative division scramble match between Stephen Wolf, Black Taurus, Aries, and Dante Leon. We're going to see a TLC match to crown the undisputed tag team champions between The Hype and Wasted Youth. Triple threat match for the women's division, Dreamwave Women's Championship between Brittany Brooks, Zeta Steele, Maggie Lee. Who were the people that were in the altercation at?
Brittany Brooks and Maggie Lee, right? I believe so.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, right. Maggie Lee attacked Brittany Brooks, right?
Yeah.
Dreamwave Championship is Christian Rose versus Gringo Loco. Also in attendance is going to be Channing Thomas with Sydney Bacabella. He's making his debut. Tara Zeep. Is also going to be in attendance. So, not as many matches as Friday, but huge fucking matches. Obviously, you know, determining the official tag team champions. Fucking see if Rose is able to retain his Dreamwave Championship. And then obviously Vic Capri is Vic Capri. He's on his farewell tour, isn't he?
Should be, yeah.
I really do want to get out to a, Dreamwave show. But God, those fuckers sell out so quick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they do.
Mm-hmm. So here, also, this Saturday is going to be Power Entertainment for the Saturday Fight Night. Doors open at 7:15. Show starts at 8 p.m. This is at the Thornwood Restaurant Lounge at 1051 North Wooddale Road in Wooddale, Illinois. Matches announced as of right now. Kazuya's defending his POW Entertainment POW Heavyweight Championship versus Moondog Murray. Paulie Tomaselli is taking on Mateo Valentine. Chris Miller is taking on Dazzling Donnie. Logan Steele with Chris Hedford is taking on Trog the Caveman. Axel Abreu is taking on Acid Jazz. Will Emery is taking on It's Ya Boy Mason Perks. Scheduled to also be in attendance is Mihooks O'Bannon, Stylin' Shane Eaton, Scut, Tiny, and many more. Again, make sure you check out POW Entertainment this Saturday if you don't go to any of the other shows that are booked on it.
Yeah!
Yeah! Frontline Pro, bro. What you got?
You want Frontline Pro, so I'll give you Frontline
Pro.
We
all want Frontline
Pro. I want Frontline Pro, brother.
Yeah. Before we do Frontline Pro, let's get it out of the way just in case we forget again. Announcing Frontline Pro is Steve Arendt, host of the Power Hour, along with C-Red, Rian, Pac-Man. Is it just Rachel now? Is it Russian Blue? Like, what is she going by now? Is it just Rachel?
Rachel, Cactus, Russian.
Rachel, whatever. Who's the host this week? Or who's the guest this week? I'm sorry.
That is a good question.
I know it's a Windy City guy. I just can't remember who it is. It's like DTD or DTF. DTA. Or there we go.
DTA, that's it.
Yeah.
What Down to show assault back? Or
some shit? No, fucking no.
What show back?
What does it say? And
DeAndre the Assassin.
Okay, cool. I just want to know what. Yeah. Awesome. So, Windy City Guy, special guest on the Power Hour this week. Make sure you check that out.
It'll probably be a doozy because C-Red was a little heated when he found out.
Oh, it's not a fan of his?
Let's just say it may turn into something that Steve is not going to control.
Well, that's on Steve for making those choices. You probably should, like, you know, share with people, hey, this is who I have, guys, a guest. All right.
He may need Rian to step up and moderate that shit. But we'll see.
And I acknowledge the tribal liaison. I think we all do.
It's funny because on the screen you're no finger. You have no finger.
You're totally doing
it. I acknowledge.
This is what you're doing right now.
The tribal liaison.
Way to have that power, bro.
I patented it.
Frontline Pro, brother. What we got?
Frontline Pro presents Honor Bound this Saturday, April the 20th, 4:20. 8853 South Howell Avenue in Oak Creek, Wisconsin, at the Salvation Army.
Wait, what's the show? I'm sorry.
Honor Bound. $25 for front row. General admission's $20. Doors open at 4 p.m. Bell time is 5 p.m. Special start time. All right. In a special challenge matchup, it's EC3 taking on Ryan Cross. EC3 made the challenge to anybody, and Ryan Cross answered.
Come on, who's EC? EC3 like TNA, WWE, EC3.
Yeah. Current NWA heavyweight champion.
Who am I thinking of? IPW.
TW3.
I'm mixing him up with TDC.
So you TDC.
The damn coyote. Yeah. I'm getting initials mixed up. Yeah. It's like fucking Dizzle J when he was fucking listing off his fetishes and shit. You know, it's like, I get it. You know, there's a lot of fucking initials. It is what it is. Let's move on. But yeah, no, that's what I'm looking at. I'm like, I know what fucking EC3 is, but is there an independent? But okay, awesome. Dude, I love that fucking guy, and I wish he had more opportunities in fucking WWE, which he might. With Triple H being there, I think Triple H loved that fucking dude.
Probably.
Maybe down the line we may see him at NXT.
Again?
I would think so, yeah.
We'll see.
I don't know if he's main roster. There's not enough room on the main roster anymore. It's anyways, I'm sorry, go ahead. Frontline.
And we mentioned TW3. He'll be taking on Richard Holiday, who'll be at CSW the night before. Then an interesting matchup, and it brings back some memories from Elite Pro, if you will. Justin Dredd will be taking on Hades X1X. Even though Hades X1X wasn't Hades X1X at Elite Pro, but in a way it's all the same.
Hey, it's cool that fucking Hades 19 found its way up there.
Yeah. It's been a while since these two fought, but.
I don't remember if it was ever mentioned. Is it really like X1X?
Yes.
Like, was that not discussed on the Power Hour and why, you know, it's not 19?
I don't know if it was discussed, but
we talked about it on here. Remember that.
Oh yeah, because it's clearly Hades 19.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't get the whole X1X thing because it's a letter number letter. I don't get it. Wouldn't that be XIX?
Like WrestleMania X1X.
Oh, which was WrestleMania 19?
Hulk Hogan versus the guy we can't talk about anymore.
Yeah, we can. We can still talk about him. It's a podcast.
Oh, yeah, we could.
Wait, who can we talk about?
Vince McMahon.
Oh, I can't believe you just said that.
Wait, when did he face The Rock?
18.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, or X8.
No, that can't be right.
Yeah, that's right. In Toronto.
Wasn't Austin's last match at WrestleMania 17 versus The Rock?
19. X1X.
19. Okay, so Rock's Austin, and then it was Hogan McMahon.
Yep.
Gotcha. Okay. Okay, now I'm on board. Frontline, Nubby.
All right. Quinn Whittick will be taking on frontman Jossie. I believe that's how you pronounce it, Jossie. But Steve can correct me tomorrow on the Power Hour. For the Frontline Pro World title, we got the champion, Shaq Jordan, taking on Ragnar the Ruthless. Then we got a teacher versus student match. As the student, Kota Jacobs, takes on the teacher, Ken Anderson.
Anderson.
Thank you for that.
Got you.
Then in a special grudge match, if you will, it'll be Ben McCoy taking on Nathan Gust. I forget which event it was, but Nathan Gust out of nowhere just jumped Ben McCoy. And now they're going to battle it out at Honor Bound. Then we got Cal Hero taking on Draven Stryker. Then we have for the four-way, it's a four-way tag team title match as the Bro Bros be taking on the Brothers of Funstruction, the Windy City Devils, and Kid Lat and the Big Guy.
Big Guy!
If the Bro Bros were not, which, if you guys listen, if they were not in Frontline this weekend, I 100% would have gave one of those guys a high voltage title shot. I'll give you a hint. Their last name's Bro.
Bro? Or Bro?
Bro.
I'm going to go with Bro.
I think it's going to be the one with the last name Bro, personally.
I would think so, yeah. 100%.
I think that's a pretty accurate assessment.
Yeah. They both need to be a fucking Rocket Pro. I still don't know how that's not happening yet.
Don't worry. When I am sole GM, I'm making it happen.
I'm really excited to talk about why you keep saying that.
Me too.
He's launching a shoe line. The soul of the shoes. He's going to be the GM of the soul. No, that's not it.
Soul Toucher. Wait. and then we got...
Just go around poking people's fucking loafers and shit.
And then we got Adonis Allen taking on Paragon. And then that is the card for Frontline Pro Honor Bound, Saturday 4/20. Yeah, I'll just stick with 4/20. 8853 South Hall Avenue in Oak Creek, Wisconsin. Front row $25. General admission $20. 4 p.m. doors. Bell times 5 p.m. at Salvation Army in Wisconsin.
Well, I'm glad you cut before 4/20 because Phoenix Pro Wrestling returns on April 20th for Hayes 4/20.
Hey.
The show.
Hayes.
4/20. It's at the Holman American Legion Post 204 in Holman, Wisconsin. Pain and Pleasure is going to have their champagne room, or the champagne room is going to have Pain and Pleasure on. Special guest is Beaumont. Fucking Pac-Man's buddy, Joey Roth.
Oh, God.
With Roxy Hart.
Oh, God. We're
taking on Crawl Daddy Rod Hooks for the PPW Vision Championship. And the NWA Impact Championship match is going to be champion Harlan Hex taking on Robbie McCann. NAW World Heavyweight Championship is Beaumont playing the title against a mystery opponent. PPW Cruiserweight Championship is champion Crazy Scott will go one-on-one with Johnny Cass.
I heard Scott is crazy.
He's a little bit crazy. Pain and Pleasure will put the PPW Tag Team Championship on the line against Sky High. And the PPW World Heavyweight Championship will be on the line as Angus McDuff will put it up against yet another mystery opponent. This Saturday at the Holman, Wisconsin, the VFW. Get there, check it out.
How about that?
Okay, for the local folk, for the ones who live down here in Kankakee County, SCW comes back to the Chabant Civic Center on April 20th for SCW Hangover. High Voltage starts at 6. Main card starts at 7 o'clock. Front row seats are $20. General admission is just 15. Excuse me. Fucking ghost is coming back up. I feel haunted.
Ooh.
Right. High Voltage. I guess we can do that one first.
Cool.
Yep. I got confirmation. I got the text. I got the confirmations. Who the fuck is this guy? What's his name? Give me a second. Hold on. I'm not prepared. I don't know what I'm
doing. I thought you were doing a Conor McGregor there. Who the fuck is that guy?
Who the fuck is that guy? Dude, okay. Side note. I just watched the remake of Roadhouse on Amazon Prime. If you haven't, do it. Fucking fantastic. Conor McGregor, terrific in it. I'm in the wrong fucking chat. There we go. Buck Burnside. We'll be taking on Johnny Chaos. KJ Carter will be going one-on-one with Apex. And for the first time, I believe, since High Voltage started debuting as the opener for SCW, we're not going to have a High Voltage title match. What we are going to have is we're going to have Punitive Damages, two members of Punitive Damages. Fiber can pick whichever one he wants to partner with. I don't give a fuck. Going one-on-one with the, or I'm sorry, two-on-two with the Amazing Turtle and his partner, Omar the Last Vanguard.
Ooh.
Right?
Oh.
Right?
Nice. Just
trying to even the playing field there a little bit for you guys. Just be cautious. There is a third member of them out there, and, you know, it just happens. But tag team matchup, you and Omar, fucking crush them, bro. Tear that shit up.
I will. I'm also going to turn this light on. Because I think it's getting a little dark in here. I can't reach. Pac-Man, help me out.
What am I doing?
Didn't work.
Did not work.
There we go.
Hey, I did it. I did it because I did. I gave him a round of applause. Look at that. Look at that. Look at that. Magic hands, baby.
On the main card, we're going to see Dysfunction put the SCW Tag Team Championships on the line against Acid Jazz and Miles Mercer. Angel 2.0 will be putting the SCW Women's Championship on the mat or on the line against Erica DiErico. Johnny Chaos and VJ Price will team up to go against Punitive Damages. So yeah, they're gonna have to work twice and twice there tonight. Don't give a shit. Apex is going one on one against Matt Dwarr. Terry Allen will be in action going up against Benny Bogus.
From Boston.
Your main event will be SCW Heavyweight Championship. James Creed going one-on-one with Sean Mulligan. Obviously, a lot of these are fallouts from last month, the Mr. Bill Classic. Obviously, Mulligan and Creed having some issues. I'm curious. And obviously, Terry, not the president anymore, Flat Top is. So I'm not sure what repercussions are going to come from Terry on James Creed. Especially after James Creed, intentionally punched him in the face. But, hey, whatever. Obviously, Erica DiErico and Angel have been having issues with each other for quite some time. It looks like Angel 2.0 is finally going to get her hands on Erica. There's no way she could fucking run away anymore. This match is official. I know Apex been having issues with Matt Dwarr. Maybe we'll see the ending to that finally. I know Apex put a video out talking about their issues, blaming their loss in their tag team match a couple months back on Benny Bogus. Terry and Benny obviously have been having some issues since, I want to say it was October of last year at the Brewmaster Tournament. And, yeah, I want to see VJ and Chaos beat the shit out of Punitive Damages because nobody deserves it more than them. And I also got word that Scott Spade will be in attendance. Ooh, what he'll be doing, we do not know. But again, that's this Saturday, Shaban Civic Center. Make sure you get out there at 6 o'clock when the doors open because High Voltage will start up. So you can see all the great matches that SCW has to offer because, well, I book half of them, so you know it's awesome. You want to finish watching Raw or you want to do the show?
I'm good.
He's looking up in the distance. He's just like, he's
Rhea Ripley. Come on.
I get it. Enough said.
You know what?
Well, it looks like she had relinquished the title.
Shit.
What?
She got injured last week and looks like she's relinquishing the title. She just put it on the mat.
So. Spoilers, bro. Come on.
Three episodes behind.
Yeah, come on, bro. Shit.
Well, guess you spend more time on Facebook than I do, so you'll see.
I'm still on night one of fucking WrestleMania. that is all seven shows that are happening this weekend alone. So again, you catch Dreamwave out in LaSalle. You check out CSW up in Chicago. Power Entertainment over Lakeside or whatever the hell it was. Frontline in Wisconsin, PPW in Wisconsin, SCW on Kankakee. There's no reason anyone in this north fucking western area should not be at a wrestling show on Saturday. That being said, match cards for this weekend we're done with. So let's talk about what happened this past weekend out in Indiana for ARW and as well as Rock and Pro Wrestling. Which, hey, you know what? Shout out to us. Three different states we're talking about their wrestling shows.
Look at us. We're like a Midwestern wrestling podcast or something.
Eight fucking companies we're talking about tonight. Not one of them shared our fucking Facebook post.
No.
Two of them liked it. Not one fucking shared it. I want to keep that in mind for those of you who wrestle at these companies or who even book these companies and you hear this. Thank you for liking it. Fucking share it. That's not me being bearish. Yeah. It's me being honest. ARW was this past Saturday. Nubby, who got you the information so we could thank them personally?
Well, it was both ARW posting it on their Facebook, but BJ Porter also sending me the results twice.
Thank you, BJ. We appreciate you here at JFW.
He sent me the original, like, the written out results from the night, but then sent me the ARW one that I read, like, 5 minutes beforehand. So thank you, BJ Porter. You are a scholar.
Good for him. What a guy.
All right. Now, keep in mind, there's going to be some things said here that may bleed into Rocket Pro.
Oh.
How about that?
Or maybe a conspiracy, if you will. Which will sound better than Damian Saint's conspiracy towards me. But, so, there we go. Hold all that thoughts. Hold all those thoughts. There we go. I know my English.
Yeah, you English so good.
Yeah. All right, so Brendan Balling defeated Kazile. That is shocking to me. Who would have thought this new superstar would have beaten Kazile? I don't know how, but it happened.
Probably because Judas isn't doing his job.
Probably. I mean, I'm pretty sure all the matches are up, so you could always find out for yourselves.
Yeah, they are available on YouTube. They are one of the few companies that do post their shit on YouTube.
Yep.
Dreamwave, I don't think does. I don't think CSW does. Rocket Pro, SCW, and ARW, I know for a fact, do. IPW doesn't even. Should.
Well, CSW and Dreamwave are posting stuff on IWTV. Yeah. So they can't post on YouTube.
Oh, really? Okay. I didn't know that was okay. Gotcha.
Anything that goes on IWTV cannot go anywhere else. It's a contract thing.
Gotcha. Okay, that makes more sense then. And that'll be really unfortunate once Rocket Pro gets on IWTV. It feels like it's inevitable, but that'd be unfortunate.
But then I'll be on IWTV in many places, so.
That's right.
Many companies. I'm still on there getting my ass beat by Brain Damage and Drain, so. All right. Dave Allen defeated Isaac Slate. Death Wish advanced in the tag team tournament as they defeated the Irish Mob. BOW defeated Machine. Muggsy James defeated Max Sinister to retain the Indiana State title. JPH defeated the workhorse Wade Evans. Shocking, if you ask me. But maybe the other workhorses weren't there to, you know, help out. Then here comes my conspiracy.
Ooh.
The family were set to take on Danger Mask and Jake O'Neil for the tag team titles. However, earlier in that week, Danger Mask and Jake O'Neil were attacked by somebody or somebodies. We don't know who, how many, but I find it convenient all of a sudden Youth Gone Wild got this title shot.
Interesting.
Now keep that part in mind when we get into Rocket Pro.
Wrestling!
Yeah!
Then, Josh Moon defeated Donovan Marcellus Ruiz, Jagoff
guy. That guy.
Fuck that guy.
Dude. Idiot.
He's actually gloating that people hate him. He was actually bragging that some lady possibly threw her beer at her. I don't think anybody in Lake Station are going to waste their beer on anybody.
He's like that girl that stands proud in a bar after being called a bitch. Like, it's a good thing. Like, it's really fucking not.
Yeah.
Really fucking not. Like, oh, yeah, I love being hated. It's like, you're being hated because nobody wants to like you. That's the problem.
That's how you... Yeah.
So, and I think... I think our friend of the show, Cheyenne, she brought up a good point. She said it looked like he peed himself. So maybe he did pee himself, and he's just saying that some lady threw a drink on him just to cover it up.
Oh, he definitely looks like somebody who hasn't been properly potty trained.
Scandalous.
Well, he still wears a diaper.
I believe it. He's young enough to. Yeah, he's a child. Buy them fucking pull-ups.
Yeah.
I don't know, is pull-ups still a thing?
Yeah.
Okay, he's probably wearing fucking pull-ups. I mean, it all depends.
Hi-oh.
Ah, that's a pun.
Right.
And then after the match, Donovan decided to be a dick even more and got into a confrontation with a former wrestler who was in attendance, formerly known as Nick Cutler.
Oh, God, is he coming back?
I don't know, but they, from what I'm hearing, it got a little physical.
He's not Nick Cutler anymore, though.
Right.
When he did his farewell speech, Nick Cutler's gone. So if he does come back, he has to come back as Nick Harmon or a liar.
Well, I've known Nick Cutler to be a liar at times anyway, so.
That does make sense, yeah. But hey, you know what? He had a really long fucking title reign, so you can't fault him for it, I guess, but still.
Yeah.
And who knows? Ivan also said he was gone and he came back apparently, so who knows what's real in this world anymore?
Yeah.
But I'm ARW itself, man. Machine too. Machine retires. He's coming fucking back to ARW. Ivan retires. Ivan coming back to ARW. Now fucking Nick Cutler's retiring. He may come back. What is it with fucking Lake Station, Indiana, where people are like, this is my return? What the fuck is that?
Oh, I don't know if this is a bad time to tell you, but I'm still retired.
Well, just don't go to Lake Station.
Yeah. I mean, the only fucking thing that really comes out of Indiana that I've seen over the last fucking few months was retired wrestlers returning and fucking a Giggle Monster apparently fucking going through the groceries his wife fights. I don't fucking get it. One's entertaining, and the other one was, damn, dude, you tried way too fucking hard here. Oh, look at it. Pasta sauce. Fucking tomatoes. Oh, we got more than just corn. You're an idiot. I don't know why that part of the fucking vlog pissed me off more than all the other parts of that fucking vlog. Especially the part where, you know, you're mentioned in it and showing your selfishness in it. Even I though you weren't really fucking... did I say it wrong?
Oh, selfish? Wait, what did I do? I wasn't even in the vlog. I didn't say anything.
Fucking your fucking buddy who uses fucking 2/3 of my fucking name to make his fucking name is talking about how you have your own fucking news network. I thought it was the Lovely Intoxicated Network, not the Pac-Man show, but
so
hey.
Here's what I can say to that. We got that one night at about like 4:20 in the morning.
I'm selling.
And you know, it was told with high importance that it needed to be put in the vlog.
Yeah.
So I had no say. The thing is, you know, Travis Rav didn't have – he's had the Chet Head for months, and we haven't seen the original Chet Head. That's why we had to get the bigger Chet Head, because Rad Rav stole the original. Now, with that being said, you know, he apparently can talk to the Chet Head. He apparently understands it, which I think has something to do with some chewing tobacco he accidentally swallowed last year at Harvest Havoc. True story. It was very intense. And gave him some powers or something. I don't know. I'm just speculating here.
Yeah, sure.
How he thinks he can talk to the Chet Head. But again, we all got that video at about 4:20 in the morning.
Just to be clear, you're explaining and justifying it being in the vlog, but not really talking about the fact that he referred to the news network as yours. Gotcha. Cool.
Rad Rav does Rad Rav things.
Also, shortest fucking vlog in LIM history, which makes a lot of sense because, hey, if Pac-Man's not going to be in it, why make it the long fucking, you know, vlogs like everyone else's? I get it. You need to get your shine in, and if you're not in it, why give them the fucking time of day? I get it, man. And here, listen, I'm not saying what you're doing is a bad thing. I encourage it. Get your shit in. That's what we talk about here numerous times on JFW. It's just unfortunate how you, in order to get your shit in, it comes at the expense of all your quote-unquote friends and LIM members. that as long as Pac-Man's getting his shit in, that's what really fucking matters. I understand it, man. I'm not faulting you for it. It's just who you are. I get it.
Here's what I'll say to that.
Because you pinned Damian Gray, right? Because you're the LIM champion. Because now you're the announcer behind the scenes. Because now, you know, you're the leader of the LIM. You lead the podcast for the LIM. I get it, man. It's you. You did this. I understand that. I get it, man. I don't fault you for it. I congratulate you for it. It's just unfortunate that Gabagool and Double J and Danny and Simp and every other made-up fucking member, Turtle even, all have to suffer at your expense because you could easily get all of you over as a whole, but you're too busy focusing on what you're doing.
I have a rebuttal to that.
Yeah, I'd love to hear it. Yeah. So eventually we do gotta get a HRW done. But yeah, fuck yeah.
I do. So when it comes to the vlog, I am the one that handles the editing. So mm-hmm. I told the guys to listen to JFW last week, so they knew why I wasn't going to be in the vlog.
Yeah.
Now Double J was feeling under the weather, so he was not there. Smiley McGee was working on an investigative report about 2 weeks after the due date, but hey, I'll give him credit where credit is due. We now know that there is more than just corn in Indiana, so that's a good thing, I would say, that we have that knowledge now. Tony Gabagool brought Baby LaGreca to his very first Rocket Pro show. Okay. And Danny was helping him with said baby, so they didn't get a lot of time to film bits for the vlog. They gambled a little bit before.
Yeah.
They played musical bench.
Who made this? Wait, can I show you?
What is that?
Who made this?
That looks like that is an official Rocket Pro graphic.
Yeah, who made that?
That I am not 100% sure of.
Because I want to know why Turtle's not on here. And Turtle's a member of the LIM. Why isn't Turtle on this?
Wait, show that again real quick. Yeah, so that is for fan access, and I'll talk about that a little later.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I know it's for fan access. I just want to know why Turtle's not on this. It says lovely, intoxicated, you know, men. Right there. Why, why isn't Turtle on this? Why, I mean, this fucking dude, I honestly believe, and nothing against you, Turtle. You know I love you, buddy. I feel like you only brought him in to piss me off at the time.
Oh.
Then why isn't he on this fucking poster for the lovely intoxicated man?
I didn't make the poster. LIM didn't make that. That's in an fact, official Rocket Pro wrestling graphic.
You're wearing your wrestling attire from when you pinned Damian Gray. Everyone else just wearing random fucking shirts.
I did not choose the pictures for said Rocket Pro wrestling made graphic.
I'm going to have to get. Okay, here's the thing. I know people make posters of me. And once in a while, they have to run it by me and say, hey, does this look good? What photo should I use? What do you think? I'm going to assume that this did not go out without you fucking having any knowledge of it.
I had knowledge that one was coming.
And of course, here it is, fucking Pac-Man, wearing his fucking belt, wearing his fucking wrestling attire for when he pinned Damian Gray in his Rocket Pro fucking match. Solid. Fucking solid.
But I hope you'll be there, because we'll have to see if, Mr. Travis T will be inducted in the LIM. Is he going
to accept it? So I can be pushed to the back along with fucking Nubby? Not being put in fucking photos and fucking promotions for lovely intoxicated men at fucking wrestling shows? How come Chet's not in this? Or Chet's daughter? Or the fucking, or the security guard has been inducted? You know, it's only you five. But Nubby's not on this.
They are the five that are on there are the main hosts of that stage show. And I think that's why they went with those five. That's not to say that people will not be featured. Oh, God.
Fucking Damian Saint is on more fucking posts on the LIN than fucking Nubby is.
Yeah, oh, I don't know how. I don't know how he got it. I was taking pictures for.
You put it down and walked away. That's what you did. Don't lie.
I set it down. I had to step away for a second. Next thing I know, Damian Saint's walking around the park with the LIM title. Don't know how he got it. And then I magically found it back. So.
Oh, you want to know how he got it?
How?
Nubby, what happens in locker rooms when champions leave their titles laying around?
They get taken away.
We've
seen that before.
Yeah. All right, let's wrap up ARW so we can get into Rocket Pro. We can talk more about fucking Pac-Man's selfishness. There we go. So thanks, Joe.
No problem. All right, and then the main event we had what's their nuts? Greg Glover and James Cree defeated Program, which was Eric Schultz and Nick Diamond. Then after the match, Nick Diamond laid out Creed with a chair. Then all of a sudden, the Cult Classic came out. Lights out. All of a sudden, they're there surrounding Greg Glover. Then they attacked him. And Chavez used the mist to Glover's face.
And he didn't miss. He got it. It was direct hit.
He did not miss the miss.
Solid. So now there's a partnership between the Program and fucking Chavez Band of Misfits?
Or it's just one of those
Mist-fits?
Situations.
Ah!
Just one of those situations where two situations happen at the same time.
Interesting. Was there anything mentioned? Did he mention anything about any Ivan shit?
No Ivan shit.
Okay. Follow up. That Ivan interview is coming soon, though. I gotta get that. That's gonna happen within the next month or so. So I'm really excited for that.
Awesome.
So, awesome. Yeah. Check out ARW's YouTube channel. Check out the matches if they are released. Awesome. If not. You know, follow them. You'll get notified when they do. I'm probably going to watch that here sometime this week because I'm excited to see what happens out there. I haven't been to ARW in quite some time. I think it was Black and Blue 2 years ago.
Yeah, it was.
All right, let's dive into Rocket Pro. What happened? Tell me about it.
Yes, I will, because you weren't there.
Yes, so we have- I will. I will tell you about Rocket Pro.
That I will do.
Yes, I will.
It's a rallying cry. Anyway, Gunner Brave was shown in a video package to start the show and stated that he would not be in attendance and said that he needs to prove to the fans, the boys in the back, and himself that he deserves the RPW championship.
Yeah, not showing up really does that. Clutch.
Yeah. So... Yeah. Shaq Jordan then took on Eric Schultz, and during the match, J-Beck tried everything he could to interfere, but Shaq was able to outsmart J-Beck, and Shaq Jordan did pick up the victory on Eric Schultz.
That's a Nubby booking, right?
No.
That was Damian's thing.
That was a surprisingly... surprise match by him, because why would you put your own guy against someone like Shaq Jordan?
That has to be like one of the better matches of the night, at least top of the good matches of the night. I mean, Shaq Jordan, what do they call him? What's his thing?
The generational treasure.
There we go. Yeah. And fucking, we've seen Schultz. Schultz is good. Maybe his attitude is not the greatest, but he is a good in-ring competitor. Obviously, he's the longest reigning Northland champion for a reason. That's probably one of the worst. Shoot, why don't you get booked at fucking Northland?
Because they always run on other show dates that I'm already booked on.
Yeah, that's true. That's got to be a good fucking matchup. All right, go ahead, Pac-Man.
Then we had the final level.
I almost said go ahead, Nubby, because I interrupt you so fucking much. Okay, final level, go ahead.
Yes.
Are these matches in order?
They are.
Really? Final level wrestled this early, huh? Damn.
Okay. They did. The final level of Marche and Shogun defending against King of Six. However, Shogun came out and said that Marche was found unresponsive backstage. And Damian Saint made him pick an opponent, or a partner, I should say, to defend the tag team titles with. And
man, ooh, let me guess. Hold on. Let me guess it. Mm. Was it Nubby?
Wait. Yeah, it was.
Was it?
It was.
Dude, I thought you weren't supposed to be wrestling.
Well, if Damian Saint can do it, why can't I?
That's true.
Yeah.
Plus, there was nobody to really replace Marche last minute. I mean, I could have called Rion had I known that he was in the building at the time, but I didn't know until I walked out there. But he probably would have just hung up the phone on me when I asked anyways.
Right. He could have asked C-Red, but I'm sure his shoes were way too nice to get in the ring and stomp people with.
And he's made it clear that he's retired.
That's true. But awesome, fucking Nubby. First match back at fucking Rocket Pro since what? September?
Yep.
Yeah, when I got fired.
Dude, fucking awesome. Congrats. How'd the match go? I think you're not fucking holding the title. You know, I know you wouldn't be champion anyways, but you gotta be picking up the victory against fucking Kings of the Six, right?
Well, Pac-Man, what happened?
What happened?
Yeah, well, me.
Well, so, what happened, man?
I'm gonna tell you. I'm going to lay it on you. Okay. So, Skylar and Devin, they were having a real, real big back and forth throughout the whole. They weren't really on the same page. And at one point, during a pinfall by Devin, Skylar pulled Devin off and broke up the pinfall. And this allowed Shogun and Turtle to pick up the victory and retain the tag team championships.
Wait, what happened with Skylar and Devin?
Well, I'm going to tell you right now. Let me tell you. So
well, you quit that, pausing and fucking moot. God damn it. Dude, you're not William Shatner singing fucking Rocket Man. Just fucking say it.
I'm not even Hot Rod Daddy Andy singing Rocket Man. That was an amazing. He did. That was there. There is a promo of that, and it's fantastic.
Solid.
Yes.
Send me the link.
Shout out to Andy. So after the match, Saint came out.
He's the other one. Okay, so I knew in my mind, I'm like, who else said they're no longer calling themselves that name, their name, and going by some? It was fucking Hot Rod. Dude said he wasn't being Hot Rod Daddy Andy anymore, but he's never stopped being Hot Rod Daddy Andy. Now he's just like Warhorse. Anyway, sorry, go ahead. So what happened with Skylar and Devin?
So Devin and Skylar and Damian Saint came out to say that basically that Skylar was the weak link and Devin hit him from behind.
Listen, I'm not saying fucking Nubby has anything to do with this, but you ever notice that when Nubby gets involved with a faction, they slowly start falling apart from within? Idols and now look at the fucking Undeniable.
Wait, did you do that with No Coast too?
No Coast did that to themselves.
Oh yeah, we blame No Coast.
Yeah. No Coast don't count though.
Well, let's think about this then. People fuck with me. What happens?
Yeah.
You fuck they around, you find out.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go.
And what is I said I was going to end Undeniable eventually.
Fucking Nubby, and the fucking faction slayer, bro.
This was not intended for this to happen. So, if I may, I bring up that conspiracy because apparently there's a conspiracy against me, according to the Saint, on a hot.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Yeah, go ahead. Take your time,
Dubby.
Marche gets in.
You keep breaking up. Let the internet fucking catch up with you. Okay, go ahead. Okay, now you're good.
All right. So Marche gets injured. Okay, right?
Yep.
All of a sudden, I'm in the match, and it happens to be a title match. Okay. Mm-hmm. I didn't insert myself in the match just because it's a title match. One of my employees went down. Someone had to step in, and it was last minute. Now, if we circle back to ARW, Danger Mask, Jake O'Neil, they got jumped, and they were out of their tag match. Who mm-hmm. replaced them? Youth Gone Wild. Me with Nuke put Youth Gone Wild in a triple threat tag team title match next month. Damian Saint banned them from the arena, said they would get arrested. On the same night, Marche now is out. All of a sudden, Youth Gone Wild has a title shot in another state. This would allow Kings of the Six to have an advantage over Shogun. Little did they know that I would have stepped in. Maybe they didn't think I would.
Damn. Wait, did you go to Shogun or did Shogun go to you?
So Shogun told me what happened, and this was happening as match one happened, going on, just about to go on. So I told Shogun, you help Art Marche up. See what you can do. I'll see what I can do on my end.
Yeah.
Could not find anybody. There was no one available to team up with him.
Mm-hmm.
So Shogun, actually, when he went out there, I just told him, go out there, do what you got to do. And he went out there and asked if anyone in the back wants to, you know, step up and be his partner. Come on out. And well, I was the only one available.
Yeah.
I replaced Marche for the night. It has nothing to do with the fact that I wanted to wrestle. Everyone knows I do, but as general manager, I can't. Now, I am not a full-time wrestler at Rocket Pro as general manager. It's not in the contract. But Damian Saint, a month before, inserted himself in the match. So why can't I?
So if I'm getting this right, you're general manager of Rocket Pro Wrestling. You want to wrestle. Marche goes down. Shogun needs somebody to step up. You volunteer to step up and go out there in a title match.
Even if it wasn't a title match.
You attacked Marche Rocket. Solved it. Boom!
That's the conspiracy that Damian Saint.
It's always the fucking butler, bro.
Always
you the butler. Marche Rocket so you could have your moment in the fucking spotlight. Solved it. No, I'm kidding.
Now, why would I do that?
You wouldn't
do Marche's it. Marche's a friend of mine. Why am I going to attack him?
It's 100% King of the Six. 100%.
Well, no, I'm thinking Youth Gone Wild.
Because, I could be too. Yeah.
Because they were banned from the arena, but without anybody knowing, they can show up and do what they got to do. Because if you think about it, what happens if Kings of the Six would have won the match? They're tag team title champions. Yeah, so
they're easier to beat in the final level too.
They are the easier team to beat in a triple threat tag match.
Yeah, but it could be that third team that's in that triple threat tag match too.
Right, and they are all part of the same.
Yeah.
Because I believe it's Machine and Sinister. And they're all Scumbag Army.
Yeah, and weren't they both tag team partners for the tag team champions throughout the last few months? Yeah. So three rings could also be in there, too. It's clearly not Nubby. It's just a fun way of circling around to it. But clearly Nubby's not going to attack Marche Rocket. Damian Saint.
But see, now what you did, you just gave Damian Saint a soundbite
to
take and cut and use against me.
That's right. Kyle's a piece of shit. 100%.
Yummy frosting.
So I... I gave Kings of the Six that tag match because it was out of spite for Damian Saint. Plus, I wanted to show that I care.
Yeah.
And I didn't think they were going to win anyway, but why not? I give opportunities. Damian Saint wasn't giving his own group any opportunities, at least not them two.
There was I have been racking my brain on what I could do to put out a nubby t-shirt onto the JFW merchandise site. I think we're officially going to have Amazing Turtle, Faction Slayer shirts.
Yes.
And what I'm going to do is I'm going to start fucking putting fucking faction names on the back with them X'd out. And every time you destroy a faction, I'm just going to add it to the back. So we have the Idols and we have Undeniable. Can't wait to put Punitive Damages on there because you know you're gonna fuck their world. Oh yeah, dude. If anybody out there in the wrestling world needs a faction to fucking crumble, put them against fucking Nubby, and he'll go there and within months destroy them from the fucking inside.
And you know what's funny? Punitive Damages and Undeniable have one person on that team.
That's right,
Eric Schultz.
That's right. Oh my God, fucking. Faction Slayer.
And Eric Schultz is also part of another faction that I may just have to
Brassholes.
Take up. There we go. Right. And faction I've taken out Steve's faction back at Global Championship Wrestling. So
you're gonna have to give me a list of fucking factions you destroyed, man, because I will make this shirt. It will fucking happen.
Just different NWO.
I mean, I'm not sure if it's going to say Nubby Faction Slayer or Amazing Turtle Faction Slayer. It'll probably say Nubby. It'll probably say Nubby Faction Slayer, but it's going to fucking exist. And I swear, I can make shit on the back. I'm just going to keep adding fucking names. And every time you destroy one, it's just going to be another one added to the fucking back. Coming to T Public soon, folks, along with the Better Idiot shirt for fucking Batman. And
how about the Torture Killers? You know, the only one that's been around lately.
That's right. You haven't seen them in a minute. Fuck now. Yeah. Fuck God, Nubby. Destroying fucking factions, man. Just slaying them motherfuckers. Also, well, congratulations for you assisting Shogun and retaining the title. Skylar Reed, I guess we kind of saw it coming. It's unfortunate, but you know what? I get that, you know, Damian Saint looks at it as business. I don't think he really has any friends in the wrestling world. It's all fucking profit and money and business and shit, but he can't blame Skylar for the downfalls of Undeniable because everyone is doing their part in fucking failing. It's just how it's been. So, what happened after that?
We had the handicap match between Kevin Cade and Damian Gray going up against Johnny Nye. Now, Joey Roth at one point attempted to interfere, but was accidentally taken out by Damian Gray. And Johnny was then able to take out both Gray and Cade to pick up the victory. Gray was really pissed was really upset with what was going on with Joey.
He was upset that Joey, but he's the one that knocked. What happened?
It seemed like he was blaming Joey for them losing.
I mean, I would too. I'm sure Joey's mindset was more focused on his match later on the night than what was going on right in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And Damian Gray actually made that point.
Yeah.
And then we had the contract signing, which I helped set up, and I didn't rip my pants this year, so that was good. But anyway, this isn't about me.
Would you wear jeans?
I did.
Makes sense.
Now, Maximus.
Khakis are more terrible. Terrible.
And we showed last year they were terrible.
Terrible.
Faction Slayer.
The Faction Slayer, man.
But in this next segment, the Faction Slayer and Damian Saint were both.
For the love of God, if there's any way that fucking Nubby is brought up on the Power Hour tomorrow, if you can make a Faction Slayer fucking picture.
Yes.
I will mark it so fucking hard.
I got you.
I'm going to start calling myself that now.
I would.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would, man. Because here's the thing. It's true. Mm-hmm. Factions are falling apart because you're going after them. The moment you go after them, before you, everyone else will try. They're just destroying everybody. The moment you get involved, they start to fucking crumble. And there's fucking Pac-Man, who I believe, if I heard correctly, pinned Damian Gray in a fucking matchup. They're just fucking picking up the fucking pieces of what you're already shattering, man. Fucking Nubby. Faction Slayer, bro. Fuck yeah. That's the name of this fucking episode, by the way.
Yes.
Nubby. The Faction Slayer. Yes. That's the fucking episode name.
Fuck around, find out.
That's right. Fuck around and find
out. Or fuck around and get shell shocked.
Shell shocked, bro.
And during the contract signing, it was facilitated by Wildfire.
I'm listening. So you said Nubby and Damian Saint were both out there in the contract signing, right? I heard you said that. Yes. Then we wander up. Okay. So who's out there in the ring? It's
Maximus, D. Ryan Matthews, Damian Saint, the Faction Slayer, and Wildcard and his goons.
Who's Wildcard?
Wildcard, he's that guy from Fortnite. But he had the contract and everything.
I lost interest the moment you said that. But okay, gotcha. Wildcard. Is that the one that showed up last month or something?
There was a little tease of...
Okay, yeah, you're right. Okay. Yes. Okay, yeah. I know we talked about it last week. I just couldn't remember why. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry, so it's not there.
The match contract was for the Mos Eisley Street Fight. That will be one of the double main events.
What did you call it?
The Mos Eisley Street Fight. Oh, boy. Oh, yeah, that's right. It's a Star Wars reference.
I kind of assumed that when I looked at the poster and I was talking about May 4th.
Yep.
Yeah. Eisley?
Mos Eisley Street Fight, which is it's the outpost in Tatooine, which is a wretched hive of scum and villainy, as Obi-Wan Kenobi said.
That's the one where... Harrison
Tom
Ford
and Kyle are listening.
Harrison Ford and Chewbacca, was that the bar they were in or whatever?
Yep. Okay.
Okay. So is Eisley the building or is it the village?
It's the village, and then the cantina was the bar within Mos Eisley.
Okay. And what's Tatooine?
Tatooine is the planet that Luke Skywalker was on.
Gotcha. Yeah. See, I sat there and I worked through calling him, because I was just going to say Indiana Jones. I knew that was wrong, because I can't remember what Harrison Ford, he was fucking Obi-Wan, right?
Wait, what?
Harrison Ford played Obi-Wan, right?
No, he was Han Solo.
No, I thought because the fucking...
Alec Guinness was Obi-Wan.
Al Venus was who? What?
Just imagine, Mel Venus is Obi-Wan Kenobi. Oh, hello, Lukey.
Okay, he was. Who was he? He was Han Solo.
Yes.
Okay, so Han Solo and Chewie. So it was that bar in Eisley that he shot that person at the table.
Burrito. Yes.
Okay, gotcha. Okay.
There you go.
On board. See, there's no way. Fucking proud. Fucking you and Fourth Mother Box and those jagoffs with the fucking pink khakis on that other show. Yeah, I learned. I know shit. Not over here talking about fucking space platypus and incestual fucking Skywalkers. Fucking I evolve.
I'm still thinking back to the way you described Luke taking off Vader's mask in Return of the Jedi. I forgot exactly what you said, but...
Don't ask me because I don't remember.
I think it was something to the effect of saying, like, he thought it was James Earl Jones, but it was actually some white guy.
Okay, there we go.
That's what you said.
Sounds about right, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm funny, I know. It's cool. Okay, so contract signing. Nubby's out there, and Damian Sane, and some Fortnite character, and fucking wrestlers. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, so... Of course, it's a contract signing, so it ends with Matthews and Max beating the shit out of each other. But at one point, Wildcard low-blowed Maximus O'Ryan as Damian Saint handed Wildcard a briefcase.
So it was Schultz.
It wasn't Schultz. It was a briefcase full of cash.
Oh, why didn't you give him a fucking briefcase full of lumber or logs, whatever the fuck they use on Fortnite to build forts?
Well, actually, that is true.
I know, right? See, I know shit. I don't know everything about you all of it.
I thought you were going Minecraft, but no, yeah, that isn't for
me. I might have been going Minecraft, too. I don't fucking know. Yeah. Isn't it the same fucking game?
Both of them got wood. Phrasing.
Yeah, it's the same fucking game, isn't it? Just one's more updated and non-pixelated and shit. Right. Yeah, it's the same fucking thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's how fucked up this fucking world is. Like, man, I really love fucking Minecraft. Well, if you like Minecraft, you should play fucking Fortnite. It's 3 times the cost, but it's fucking cooler and graphic-wise. Yeah! Turn it on. Oh, fucking Minecraft. Yeah!
Damn. Yeah!
Idiots. It's like when fucking people fucking like want to buy like Mario Kart and shit like that. And it costs more than just buying any other fucking racing game for $5, you know? Mm-hmm. Makes no fucking sense. Like, all you're doing is racing around. The only difference is like, oh, okay, I get to be Wario Luigi. Stupid.
You can throw bananas.
Okay. You throw bananas, that's worth the extra $60.
Yeah.
All right, so contract signed, Duke is low blowed by a fucking made up character and some money. Where was Nubby in all this? Where was Nubby in all this? So where's the faction slayer? Why this happening?
So as I was handed the contract to take to the back, I went to look at it and, you know, make sure everything's good. I didn't know anything was going on until after.
Gotcha. And when did you guys almost kiss? Was that the end of the show or?
Yeah.
We'll get to that.
Okay, yeah.
We'll get to that.
Yeah, I saw some Brazer fucking advertisements or some shit.
Yeah, that was Tom.
Yeah. Yeah. Shout out to fucking Fourth Motherbox. Proud member of Freak Nest Studios.
Damn right.
Yeah. I mean, member. I don't know if proud is the word. Yeah, it's still new. Still new. We'll see.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah, we'll fine.
Go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Next, we had a Texas Tornado tag match. Winners takes all.
Oh, my God. Fucking Nubby, aren't you coming between Tom and Kyle, too? Fucking Faction Slayer.
Faction Slayer.
Fucking Faction Slayer. Not just wrestling podcast, too, man.
Podcast Slayer. Oh, wait. We call ourselves the greatest faction in podcast history, so we got to be careful, Travis.
No, it's fine. Nubby's part of it, so we're good. That's why the LIM's not falling apart either, because if he's in it, they win it.
Yeah, so we're good. Okay, cool. All right, then we had the Texas Tornado tag match for the Joey and Roxy titles between Joey Roth and Roxy Hart versus Steve and Shelley. There's a major brawl, and they all start fighting backstage. You know, Shelley and Roxy were fighting all over ringside, wound up fighting underneath the ring. And actually, this was the match that I went out and decided to watch with the people. And Joey and Steve were brawling all across the arena, and Steve decided to pick up a mic and do commentary as he was beating the crap out of Joey. And Steve saw me standing there and asked me to
real quick. Did Steve wear the mask the entire show? Is that just the entrance?
Just the entrance.
Okay, cool.
So Steve saw me standing there and asked me to hold the mic as they brawled throughout the rest of the arena.
Did you interview him while it was happening?
I did not.
Ah, you should have, bro. You should have followed him with that fucking thing. Steve, how's it feel? Punch him in the face.
Ah, man. But I was there when Steve threw a whole boat of commentator tots right in the
last face. One.
Yep.
I couldn't get any because of that. Fucker.
But they started brawling throughout the arena, around the bar side. Sean Danger gave Steve a beer. And, you know, they started brawling outside. And at that point, I had stepped away to clean off the cheese on the microphone. Because some cheese got on the microphone. That's just true. So
I got cheese out of the fucking microphone, man. Yeah, okay, cool.
And I did clean it off successfully, I should add.
Solid.
But cool. But everybody started, Shelly and Roxy stopped brawling under the ring and started brawling in the ring. Steve and Joey worked their way through the crowd into the ring again. And that's when a video from Professor Blackburn played on the screen. And Steve was distracted watching Blackburn talk about how he doesn't think that commentators belong in the ring and that he's going to see them next month. At this point, Joey took advantage of the distraction and broke a yardstick across Steve's back and rolled him up for the victory. And Roxy and Joey have regained the Roxy and Joey titles. It was a complete crazy time, I will say.
Yeah, man, you guys lost some tots.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was on my way to go get some tots, and all of a sudden they were gone because of that spot. I had to settle for cheese fries because there were not only were the tots gone, but the hot dogs were out. No more pizza. So what the fuck?
I blame Semp for the hot dog things. He's a hot dog powered, sober, intelligent minded person.
Does Semp even have a mouth?
Everybody's got a mouth.
How's he inserting these hot dogs?
You don't want to know.
Oh, God. Is it through the butt?
You don't want to know.
You know what? You know what? Speaking of rectums, Steve, you tried, man. Congratulations. I'm sure fucking was Blackburn not there?
Blackburn was not there. Michael Allen was doing commentary.
Gotcha. How come nobody fucking called me? I get it. It's fine. It's fine. I don't want to be Blackburn fucking come May, but I don't see Steve. Well, actually, I guess it's up to fucking Nubby if he has the authority to react to Blackburn, but
I already gave Steve permission to do whatever he wants because I happen to think Blackburn out is a bit of a hypocrite. You're gonna tell Steve that he should not be doing what he's doing, but you just did something that kind of
yo. you're froze. Holy like shit, this that was you froze like this is awesome. No, you're right. I think Blackburn getting involved was unnecessary. My curiosity is, who played the video?
See, it sounds like that was the same thing. Because when that video was happening, I was on my way back from concessions.
From not getting tots.
Not getting tots.
Not getting tots.
Thanks to Steve wasting the tots on Joey. So I'm very salty, if you will.
Solid.
Sodium.
Sodium.
Very sodium over this.
Damn.
Well, yeah, Blackburn shouldn't be doing that shit either. I mean, what's the point of you? Are you jealous because now Steve's the voice? Still the he's always been the voice of Rocket Pro anyway, yeah. But now people care about him and people don't care about you.
Yeah, whatever. People care about Steve a lot more than they care about fucking Joey Roth, but I think that's really anywhere at this point. You know what? I'm sure that, you know, fucking Shelly and Steve went out there, gave it their all and everything, and who knows? If that fucking video didn't pop up, maybe they would have picked up the victory. At least, from the description of it, I wasn't physically there, there was no physical interference. It was just the footage, so.
Yeah. Well, awesome. Damian Gray and Kevin Cade said they were not going to get involved. I actually sat with them because I had nowhere else to go at doing the merch. And when the music played and I was getting ready to wrap up, they said, no, they're not going out there.
Gotcha.
And I believed them. Mm-hmm. And for once, they actually did something right. But now I ask this question, and I did ask it on Facebook, who represents the idols? The symbols or those two idiots?
That's right. Dude, another month or so, you'd fucking slay it all, bro. It don't even fucking matter at this point. Fucking Faction Slayer's on the
job. Take them all out.
Fucking Faction Slayer.
Oh, it's interesting. He is the Faction Slayer, but where have the idolizers been since Turtle has had some interactions with the idolizers?
I don't know. I saw fucking Nani fucking throwing out fucking videos of her celebrating with the idols. Not one video of her offering to fucking invite me to the idolizers, though. So, you know, I get it. Oh, she's too busy. Okay, sure, whatever. That's fine.
Ooh, another addition to, you know, the Faction Slayer. I am undefeated against a certain faction at IPW.
Oh, yeah.
The big leagues.
That's right.
Fucking Faction Slayer.
Cool. crushing shit.
He's slaying Russell with a shuffle off. J.R. Lindsay with the shuffle off.
And I took his girl.
Yeah. After he took her dog.
Yeah. Yeah, now she's taking your dog. What? Okay, let's move on.
Hey!
She's got a dog and a turtle.
Boom.
Yeah. She's an animal.
Just over there rubbing bellies.
And we're both on our back.
Boom! Take that, Lindsay, you fucking loser. Okay. See Pac-Man's face just now? Got it. It's like he sharted for a moment.
I probably did. I almost did. I won't lie. Almost did.
I know last week you almost did. But
that's here.
He looks like the kind of person who fucking fajitas would go right through.
That, you know what, it's true. I'm like a ghost there. You know, they just flow out of me.
Yeah. His stomach's like his fucking weightlifting ability. Weak.
Like hey, Casper.
But I pinned Damian Gray, so that's pretty cool.
That's true. I got this.
True.
Yeah, thanks for reminding us.
I'm going to be Danny.
Your success.
I'm going to be Danny. Remind us
of your success. There you will. Yeah.
I will.
Okay.
And then you're next.
What happened? Yeah. Perfect. May 26th, you and I for that fucking title.
Interesting.
That's right.
That's a very specific date, sir.
Oh, yeah. We already said, I might go up to Romeoville, and I might drink at a bar because I might meet a fucking lady. I have no problem making myself look foolish and fucking out. I mean, realistically, it ain't going to take that much to fucking beat you. I'll fucking probably still be sober enough to drive home and still crush your ass. But, yeah, May 26th. Not only that, that's my 35th birthday. So what better way to celebrate my birthday by taking your fucking 160 ounces of fucking plastic?
It's my 160 ounces of plastic, and you can have it, and I'm going to out-drink you, and you're going down, mister.
It would just be really exciting for somebody to actually win that thing for once instead of just being handed off to fucking people. So.
But the difference between me and Danny, though, you say that, but I also actually have defended it successfully multiple times.
Yeah, sure you did.
So I'm a fighting champion.
Yeah, 100%. So fight me then.
Danny kept talking about it. He never defended it against Gabagool.
So put it against me. Put it up against Travesty on May 26th.
We might have to have a contract signing for that. I won't have wild card, have the contract though, because he might hit me in the dick.
Yeah, fuck that shit. Yeah, no. We'll contract sign it. I won't even put you through a table afterwards. I'll be honest.
Good. You know, and hopefully, maybe Smiley McGee can be a coat rack during this contract signing.
We'll see. Let's get back. We fucking lost.
Yeah, Nubby. We have.
We lost Nubby to Raw. Let's get back here.
Speaking of getting laid, Koa Laxamana was with Kalis.
Whoa! I was talking about defending a title against you, and you're going, speaking of getting laid?
Yeah, because Koa Laxamana says, who wants a lay? And he gives out the lays, and that's what he did before.
I understand that, but who's talking about fucking each other right now?
No, because I was getting to the point where Christian Rose also was involved with the Koa because he wrestled him.
Gotcha.
And you did say Raw. So.
That is true. Yeah. And I did say fuck you up, so I mean, who knows?
But during the match, Rose was getting tired of Kalis banging the Hitman's war sticks.
Oh, God, yeah. Is that what happened? Is that what he calls it? Is that what he's fucking calling it?
That was
banging the war sticks.
Banging the Hitman's war sticks. Perfect. I'll tell you right fucking now. I don't know if Koa still listens to this show or not, but if he doesn't start fucking calling it his war stick, he's missing out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And look at us changing the fucking world.
Look at us. The Faction Slayer. Faction
Slayer and war stick. Perfect.
Yeah, and at one point, Rose was able to take the sticks away from mm-hmm. Kalis, and Kalis confronted Rose in the ring and got hit with the Samoan drop for her troubles, which fired up Koa, and he speared Rose and pinned him for the 1-2-3.
I can understand how you want to say that Koa was angry that Kalis got fucking Samoan dropped. I saw the footage. Koa posted the footage.
Mm-hmm.
She got Samoan dropped. He did not take 1 second to fucking check on her. So, did he really fucking care? I mean, tell me if I'm wrong. Maybe the footage got edited and something was cut out, but I'm pretty sure she got Samoan dropped. He clotheslined him, back elbowed him, fucking attacked him, speared him, pinned him. And not one time did he roll out of the ring and check on Kalise and see how she's fucking doing. And isn't it a fucking surprise that here's this guy who's supposed to be such a great fucking dude, a hero to the fucking wild Red Wave Army, and yet he has a very attractive fucking manager, we all fucking know it, constantly getting involved in his fucking matchups and either costing him a match, which I don't get how a manager could cost their client so many fucking matches in a career, or getting him the victory because of the distractions. It just doesn't seem like he gives two shits about Kalise as long as the distractions are there for him to pick up victories.
Hmm.
So, that's just me. I don't fucking know.
But after the match, Rose apologizes to the fans for having his mental breaks throughout the past year and actually tried to quit Rocket Pro. But then this brought out Nuke, who tried to talk him out of quitting and said that he should be at the next show to support TDC as they take on Hartenbauer, Bucky Collins, and a partner of their choosing.
Take the fucking belt off because you have one shoulder.
Wait, hold on. I'll do it Rion style. No.
No. As you're sitting there, your shoulder keeps vanishing for some fucking reason, and it's just weird fucking.
See, it's like the fajitas, they're going right through me.
It's worse than the fucking big fork.
So, I speak wrestling and carry a big fork. What can I say?
So hold on a second. So Nuke asks him not to fucking quit and show up next month.
Yep.
Isn't it the same guy that told TDC to fix the fucking Rose problem before he has to?
Yep.
So what fucking changed? He was pissed 1 month, but now he wants him to stick around? Wouldn't him leaving solve the Rose problem?
I mean, potentially.
I don't think it's potential. I think that's a fact, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, again, you don't want to lose Christian Rose. I understand it from a business perspective. You don't want to fucking lose Christian Rose. But the guy who gets punched in the mouth by fucking Christian Rose threatens TDC to fix the problem where he will. Now goes out there and says, hey, man, don't quit. Come back next month. Let's hug it out. Nice ear. You know, whatever. Whatever. Yes, sir.
But I mean, people were like really, really, you know, egging Christian to stay. I mean, even Danny had strong opinions on why Christian Rose should stay. Mainly it's because apparently my mom has a big crush on Christian Rose.
Fuck yeah, she does. We talk about it all the time.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Damn.
That adds up.
You know how you call Flash Harris your daddy?
He is my dad. I love
that's what
my
you,
dad.
That's what your mom says dad. About fucking Rose. Wait. I think in a different way, though.
Oh, damn!
Yeah. That's what your mom says, too, when she sees Christian Rose. Oh, damn.
Pretty much. She's like...
Yeah. But brings her back to those fucking Hanes commercials.
Oh, like damn. Gordon ones?
Kinda.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm guessing Rose didn't quit, and I'm sure he plans on being there next month.
He might go to that, like Bill Shelley.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Bill Shelley was at Bill Shelley was there.
Yeah, we broke the news. That
I saw him walk across the vlog.
Yeah, he was there. Yeah. He flipped me off.
Did.
That he did. That was fun. But we have a main event.
Sure we do.
We do. And it is simply undeniable, Steve Michaels. Defending his RPW championship against Aaron Stone. At one point, Stone was able to pick Michaels up over his shoulders. And the crowd erupted, and as Stone was getting ready to take the title back, Damian Saint hit Stone with his cane and resulted in a disqualification. Stone wins the match, but because it was a disqualification, Steve Michaels retains his title. Now, after the match, the Undeniable...
Why didn't you fix it, Nubby? Why didn't you fix it?
Oh, we're getting there. We're getting there. Ugh. We're getting there, mister.
We're getting there, mister.
The Undeniable then came out to beat down Stone. Koa came out to Stone's defense, but was taken down by the Undeniable. Turtle came out to ask for backup, which brought out Maximus O'Ryan.
Well, I brought out Koa first.
He brought out Koa first, and then Maximus O'Ryan. And
I was the first one out, but I could not, as GM, I still cannot go in there and start hitting people.
Ah, but you see, here's the thing. If you didn't jump the gun on all those receipts, you could have.
Well, I guess.
Except for Michaels, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you shot your shot too early. That's the problem.
It happens.
Yeah, it's okay, though. Worth it, right?
Yeah.
But as everybody else fought off, Turtle and Saint were face-to-face in the ring, and Turtle made the match for Kicks on 66. Koa Laxamana versus Aaron Stone versus Steve Michaels for the RPW Championship triple threat match.
Another triple threat? Was it going to be fucking triple threat night? Tag titles? Championships?
Mm-hmm.
What about that one title that's never fucking defended? What about that one?
He's in a six-man tag.
When's the last time the Outer Limits title was fucking defended?
That would have been...
The last time Connor Hopkins was there.
Exactly. No, that would have been... Because that was when the last time Connor Hopkins was there...
He faced Christian Rose.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that was the last one. That was the
fucking
last
one. Rocket Pro fucking goes on to fucking Facebook and makes this big poll about, hey, if we come out with a new title, what should we call it? Fucking defend the titles that are fucking there. Where's Von Jaeger and his fucking title? Ah, Rocket Pro. Nothing against you, Nubby. It's fucking Rocket Pro. Two titles that fucking I haven't seen on the fucking card in a couple months and they want to add another one. Nothing against Rocket Pro. Huge fan of yours. Love the work.
Now, Turtle, the faction slayer himself, referred to Saint as a crappy landlord.
Take a reality and bring it into the fucking business, bud.
And the crowd started calling Saint a crappy landlord.
And that broke me. I was laughing my ass off. I did not expect the crowd to fucking take it like that. But hey. I did it.
And then both GMs agreed to put their jobs on the line next month. Turtle versus Saint. Winner will become the sole general manager of Rocket Pro. And that was spring break. Next month. Yes.
Let's put it in context.
Yes.
Yeah, it didn't happen exactly.
The joy it about was here,
right, you're right, but you're wrong.
The joy about JFW here is... The joy with JFW here? Doesn't matter if fucking you go along on the main event. Let's hear it.
So, I challenged Damian Saint to a fight, or to a match.
Mm-hmm.
At first, he was saying no, but I kind of convinced him. But he would only do it if I put my GM position on the line. Kind of saw that coming, but...
Yeah.
But I was kind of hoping maybe it would just be a match. Why not have a match between two GMs and... You know, settle our differences that way. But because he did that, I'm like, okay, you know what? I'll do it. But only if you put your GM position on the line. Now, he really didn't want to do it then.
Yeah.
He pretty much said, no, not doing it. And then he was ready to walk away. But because I could be an ass at times. And I will, you know. Throw a little blow in, metaphorically, if you will. And I called him No, I told me he had no guts to do it when the pressure's on, just like he didn't have the guts to become a wrestler in the first place. And that got him to accept the challenge. So, yes.
I thought you were going to tell me that you called him a pussy, a fucking Rocket Pro, but that's worse. That's fucking worse, bro. But if you're honest, he can't fault you for it.
Hey, I just called it as I seen it. You don't have the guts to face me, you know, with the pressure on, with your end of the GM position on the line. Well, then that means you just don't have the guts to be in the ring, period.
Yep.
And that got him. I got him to accept it. So now it will be GM versus GM, winner take all. I wanted a fight. That's all I wanted, but he brought this on himself. When I beat him and he loses power, that's all on him.
GM Slayer Nubby. Yeah.
I did have a little bit of a pun towards Rion in the beginning, though.
How'd you go about it, sir?
I said those words. How would I go about this? Well, and I looked right at Rion and I winked at him.
What I would recommend is getting ahead on a stipulation before he does.
There's possibly things in the works.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
Awesome. So as far as next month goes, we got Saint and Nubby. We got a triple threat tag match with Youth Gone Wild, Final Level, Three Rings, and then Koa, Michaels, and Stone for the championship. Awesome.
We hit Hartenbauer versus Hartenbauer, Bucky Collins and a partner they're choosing versus TDC.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Maximus and the Ryan Matthews.
Yeah. And fan access before the show. Meet your favorite superstars. And there will be a stage show by the LIM. We have a lot of crazy stuff planned. You're not going to want to miss it. It's going to be pretty, pretty intoxicating, if I may say so myself.
Nice.
And lovely. There will be men there. Podcast.
A lot of information tonight, guys. A lot of shows happening this upcoming weekend, and obviously the rundown of everything that happened this past weekend. For those out there who do listen to our show, and if you know of a company we don't talk about that you think we should, message us. Let us know. Nubby put it up on his Facebook, said the same thing. If he wants to talk about you, just reach out to us. You know, we have no problem doing it. Fucking Pac-Man needs more to fucking do, apparently. So.
Well, I say funny things.
You do. Anything, anything else?
Go ahead.
Anything else wrestling related we got to talk about?
Nope.
No. I'm good.
A lot of results to cover next week. I don't even know. What shows are next week? Just IPW?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So a lot of fucking results to talk about. Power Hour this Tuesday night. Make sure you check him out. Who is it? DTA is
the DTA. Yep.
DTA is the guest this week. Make sure you check out the Power Hour over on YouTube or on Facebook. You look for Steve Arendt or the Power Hour channel over on YouTube. Or if you just go to JFW Podcast, go to our channel. If you scroll to the bottom, you'll find links to. If you go to Freakness Studios YouTube channel. If you go to view our channel, scroll to the bottom, you'll find links to Fourth Mother Box, JFW, and the Power Hour all right there. Follow us on social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter just by searching JFW Podcast or Just Freak Wrestling. Search us wherever you listen to audio. Subscribe to us. Give us a rating review. And also follow us on YouTube at JFW Podcast where you catch the video release of our show. Guys, that's all I got.
I believe we can.
Ring the bell on this episode.
Perfect. As always, I am Travis Stink.
And I am the Faction Slayer, Nubby the Amazing Turtle.
And I am the LIM Champion, Pac-Man. I'm going to eat a vanilla pudding cup.
And... thank you for listening to another episode of Just Freaking Wrestling, the JFW Podcast.